teaching of the word. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for understanding. This morning, Heavenly Father, we desire that you'd speak to us. We pray, Jehovah God, that you'd reveal your heart to each and every one of us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that there's joy in your presence. We thank you that there's liberty, there's freedom. And even this morning, Holy Spirit, we desire that you would speak to each and every one of us. I pray that you'd help me, Holy Spirit, to speak your word in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Do you know that it takes a whole lot more muscles to frown than to smile? So if you can smile, it would help me to preach this morning. It will make it easier for me to preach this morning. You know, it's like we are not at the funeral of Jesus. He's not dead. He's alive. Hallelujah. So let's have fun in the house of the Lord. Those of you who came early for church, you know, the praise was just awesome today. Amen. It was great. And please come to church early so that you don't miss out on some of those things. Amen. You know, you won't get to know the fullness of your church if you just attend a portion of it. You've got to come through and experience the entire lot, and you'll be amazed by what God is doing here. Amen. So let me remind you guys, church starts at 9:30. 9:30, not 10 o'clock. Church starts at 9:30. If you can be here on time, it'll be such a blessing. Amen. Last week, we looked at the subject, acquainted disciple, an acquainted disciple. And this is part and parcel of a series that we've been going through. And today we are doing part 25 of His Commission, Our Mission. Amen. We've been talking about His Commission, Our Mission. And the reason why we've been talking about His Commission, Our Mission, it is because that is what we are called to do as a church. We are called to be disciples of Jesus who push the Great Commission. Hallelujah. I don't know how you've been doing that. I don't know how you are doing with regards to the Great Commission. I want you to know that is what God is calling you and I to do. To the Great Commission. Glory be to God. Now, we said it takes an acquainted disciple to develop the capacity to make a difference. It takes an acquainted disciple. If you're not here, just hang in there. You'll get to understand what this is all about. In other words, an acquainted disciple is able to run with the Great Commission effectively. And a number of things that came to the fore as we're talking about an acquainted disciple, we said the degree to which you are acquainted with Jesus is the degree to which you know and can obey His commands. You know, we spoke about being acquainted with somebody is knowing somebody, is having an intimate knowledge about somebody. Secondly, we said Jesus is more interested in what you are becoming than in what you can do for Him. Jesus is not really concerned about whether you're in the worship team or you are in the media team or you are in Asha. Yes, He would want you to be there, but He is more concerned about the person you are becoming. He is concerned about who you are becoming. And I want to ask you a question. As you've been in the Lord, do you like the person you have become? Are you likable? Do people enjoy your presence? When you miss work, do people miss the fact that, man, this guy is not here? I wish he was here because it would be so fun to be in the office. Thirdly, we said relationship is more important than mission. Relationship is more important than mission. And in this regard, don't pursue power, don't pursue anointing, don't pursue authority, but rather pursue relationship with Jesus. Because everything else that you're pursuing is an overflow of that relationship. So this morning I want to continue where we left off. And I want to teach you again on an acquainted disciple, part two. I want to do part two of that message. Let me remind you about the meaning of to acquaint. To acquaint oneself means to gain knowledge, to become familiar with, and to develop an intimate personal relationship with someone or with something. That is what it means to be acquainted with somebody. It means you've gained knowledge of this person. You've become familiar with this person. You've developed an intimate personal relationship with this individual. And I want you to understand that acquaintance is a very important aspect in your life. And the way you know Jesus is very important. And we looked at two aspects. The first one, we said, an acquainted disciple believes that Jesus is all sufficient. That was the first thing. Do you believe that Jesus is all that you need? We've been talking about what a powerful name, or rather singing and praying, what a powerful name the name of Jesus is. And I want you to understand that for you to be acquainted with Jesus, you have come to appreciate that he is all sufficient. Because if you don't appreciate the sufficiency of Jesus, you will always look over. You will always look for the next best thing. You will always look for the next best prophet. You will always look for more power. But if Jesus is sufficient, glory be to God, you settle in. You settle in and you basically say, that is what I want. I found it and Jesus is all that I need. Hallelujah. Number two, we said an acquainted disciple invests enough time with Jesus. An acquainted disciple invests enough time with Jesus. Now that you know he is all sufficient, you're saying, I want to spend time with him. Can somebody hear me this morning? I want to spend time with Jesus because he is all that I need. I don't need anything else. I'll spend enough time. Ashes, don't worry. It's okay. It's fine. We'll keep going. We've got children. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Now, an acquainted disciple invests enough time with Jesus. Why? Because you understand that he is all that I need. When you appreciate somebody, you spend time with them. When you don't, you ignore their texts. You ignore their calls. But when you place value on somebody, you want to connect and you want to spend time with them. Hallelujah. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. The Bible says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Talking about Jesus. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, I'm sure you know, okay, if you don't, let me just tell you that the John who was writing the book of John is not the same John that he was talking about in this chapter. The writer of John, the gospel John, was one of the disciples of Jesus. But the John that he was talking about was the John the Baptist. So John, the disciple of Jesus, is busy narrating how John the Baptist introduced the Messiah to the world. As you can see from these scriptures, when Jesus came, he had two primary audiences. And even today, he still has two primary audiences. The first audience was the Jews. These were people of the covenant. And John identified them as Christ's own people. So that is the first group that John is dealing with. It was Christ's own people. The second group was the Gentiles, and he referred them as the world. So we've got two groups here that Jesus came to and he was exposed to. The first was his own people, and the second was the world. Now, in the same way that there were two groups, the two groups also responded differently to Jesus. The world, or the Gentiles, when Jesus came, could not identify him. The Bible says he came to the world and the world did not know him. The people of the world do not know Jesus. The Gentiles did not know him. Last week, I asked the question whether you know Jesus or not. And these disciples did not know Jesus. Knowing Jesus is only the starting point of the journey of acquaintance, but it is not the end of it all. The people of the world saw the Lamb, but they did not know him. They did not understand who he was. But this morning, I want to draw your attention to the second group. The second group was his own people, who were the Jews. The Bible tells us that Jesus went to his own, but his own did not receive him. His own knew him, but they did not receive him. It is one thing to know Jesus, but it is another level to receive him as your Lord and personal Savior. These covenant people knew Jesus, but they did not receive him. And I want you to know this morning that seated here, it is common where people come to church, they know Jesus, but they have not received him. The implication of receiving Jesus is massive. It changes everything. Why? Because without receiving him, you cannot become a child of God. So one group did not know him, did not know Jesus, but another group knew Jesus, but were not ready to receive him. So the third point in one to become acquainted with Jesus is acquaintance with Jesus starts with receiving him as Lord. It sounds very basic, but I want to go somewhere with this today. That acquaintance with Jesus starts with receiving him as Lord and your Savior. Now, when we talk about receiving, it is so important for you to become acquainted with Jesus. You cannot acquaint with somebody that you haven't accepted in your life, that you haven't allowed to come and be part and parcel of your life. So to receive Jesus means to be joined with him. It is when there is such a union with the Lord that there's a oneness that happens between you and Jesus. You accept him not just as a Savior, but you accept him as a Lord over you. Many people have known Jesus as their Savior, but they haven't known him as their Lord, and because of that, acquaintance it cannot happen. You see, accepting Jesus prompts submission. It prompts humility. It prompts total surrender to Jesus. So you cannot find these people who just know Jesus and are fully committed and acquainted with Jesus. When you just know Jesus and you haven't accepted him, it's impossible for you to say, "I know him intimately." They knew him, but they did not receive him. The Jews knew Jesus, but they did not receive him. Listen, it is possible to be in church and not to be in the Lord. In other words, being in church simply makes you a religious person and not a relational person. Hear me good, people. Coming to church for a long time doesn't make you acquainted with Jesus. You can simply be religious, but you lack a deep relationship with the Lord. You can come to church. You can get to know Him. You know that He's a miracle worker. You know that He's a deliverer. You know that He can do so many things. But you have not received Him as Lord. You have not acknowledged Him as Lord. And you're saying to me, but Pastor, I have received Him as Lord. Let's dig deeper about that. When somebody says, I have received Jesus as Lord, there is a total transfer of allegiance. Whereby you're able to say, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. How do you know if you have crossed that line of receiving Jesus? Maybe you know He is a Savior in your life, but there's a dimension in your life where He is not Lord. So when you receive Jesus as your Lord, your life is no longer yours. It now belongs to somebody else. The Bible tells us when we are in Christ, we are no longer slaves unto sin, but we are now slaves unto righteousness. When you have received Christ, you are in a place where His voice becomes familiar, where you hear Him when He speaks. When you have received Christ, you have a surrendered demeanor when it comes to the Lord. In the coming weeks, I'm going to teach on the fear of the Lord. Because we don't understand what the fear of the Lord is in our churches these days. But when the Lord is Lord over your life, there is a willingness to submit to the Lord. Something happens to those who have received Jesus as their Lord. When the Bible says He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But to everybody who received Him, He gave them power and authority to be called sons of God or children of God. Which means when you cross that line of total submission to the Lord, He gives you the ability to become a child. The ability to become His child. He gives you authority. He gives you access to Him. He gives you access to God. And this is so important because sonship in the kingdom of God is not something that you acquire. It's something that you receive. So when you have received Him as your Lord, He then makes you His heir. The Bible says we are now co-heirs together with Christ. This is so important, saints. Because the moment you are a child to somebody, it changes the way you view yourself in regards to that person. So receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior results in a childlike setup unfolding in your life. A person who has received Jesus as Lord and Savior has got the humility of a child. It means that when I am a child, there are many things that I cannot do for myself. I am entirely dependent on my parents. It means that I am submitted to them. I honor them. Now you see, I'm going somewhere here. When you receive Him as your Lord, He gives you the ability to be a child. And when you are a child, you relate with Him at a different dimension where intimacy and acquaintance can happen. Unless we are like children, we can never get to know Jesus. You see, a child lives under the guardianship of their parents. A child is entirely dependent on their parent. A child receives instructions from their parents. A child is helpless when alone. And a child only knows as much as the parents has taught them. Now I want to ask you a question today. Are you in that space right now that you celebrate what Jesus celebrates? The reason why we cannot acquaint ourselves with Jesus, it is because we are still running the show in our lives. You know, it is not an easy thing to deal with a strong-willed child. Those of you who are parents here will know that when you are dealing with a strong-willed child, it's not an easy game. That child does not pay attention. That child does his own thing. That child answers you back. That child does whatever he or she wants. Strong-willed child. The question that I have for you this morning, what type of a child are you? Are you a strong-willed child who is able to submit to the Father? As long as we are too strong-willed, we will never get to know Jesus. When Jesus says it is time for us to pray, we've got so many reasons why we can't pray. When Jesus says to you, this is time to let go, you say, no, I will not let go until justice has been done. When Jesus says forgive, you say, I will not forgive until they feel the pain of what they did to me. When Jesus says it is time for you to fast and to be intimate with me, you say, no, this is time for holiday. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Because when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, he says he gives you the right and the authority to be a child of God. The reason why I am living my life like another Lord in the kingdom of God, it is because I haven't received him and I don't have the right as a child of God. Acquaintance happens when that relationship is clearly defined. The battles that we have in our churches, it is because we've got too many lords walking around in the church of Jesus Christ. But when the church of Jesus Christ has come to a place of saying, I am a child, I submit myself to the Lord, then you are able to take instruction. The reason why our knowledge of Jesus is limited, it is because he can't get through to us. I always have an idea in my mind about how to deal with problems. I always have a plan B. If plan A doesn't work, plan B will kick in. If plan B doesn't work, plan C will kick in. When will Jesus come and tell you what to do? He went to his own, but his own did not receive him. He went to the world, but the world did not know him. Now you know him, but have you received him as Lord? Does somebody hear me this morning? To anybody who received him, he gave them the authority to become sons and daughters of God. So receiving Jesus is very key for you to become acquainted with him. And you receive him not as a, you know, sometimes we think Jesus is a fellow laborer. He is Lord, Bazalwani. He is Lord. He's not somebody who just says, I'm going to work with you on the same level. So please don't miss church that day that I'll be teaching on the fear of God. Anyway, you won't know which day, but that day will come. Hallelujah. But we need to get the fear of God back again into the house of God. The fear of God will keep us on our knees. The fear of God will make us wait on God until he comes. Amen. The fear of God will make us honor what God is doing in our times. Where is the fear of God in our hearts? Now, acquaintance occurs in the context of knowledge. Because the more you know about somebody, the more acquainted you are with that person. The more you know about a church, the more acquainted you are with the ins and outs of the church. This is how this church does things, right? But I want you to know that one of the blockages to knowing Jesus is that humans are limited in their understanding of the things of the Spirit. And I want you to know that Jesus is beyond comprehension. If we get to know the whole of Jesus, then he is not the Jesus of the Bible. If we get to know the whole of God, then he is not the God of the Bible, because he is beyond comprehension. How do we close the gap between the limited nature of a man and the beyond comprehension nature of God. Because when we talk about acquaintance, we are saying you got to know something about somebody. It means that this person is knowable. It means that I can gain some knowledge. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. We are talking about an acquainted disciple. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. The Bible says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him." So there are things that God has prepared for you. There is something in God that he wants you to know. Hallelujah. There is something about Jesus that you can attain, that you can get to know. But there is a place in your life where you don't know. There is a place in your life that you cannot see, you cannot comprehend. It is beyond me, it is beyond you. Verse 10, "But God has revealed these things by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Verse 11, "For who among men knows the things of a man except the spirit of man within him? So also no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." So Paul here talks to the Corinthians and he tells them, you guys are limited. You see, it's important for you and for me to acknowledge how limited you are. Because as long as you think you know it all, you'll never attain to the knowledge that God has in store for you. I need to come to a place of acknowledging that I am limited, that there's something that are beyond my knowledge. No matter how much effort I can put in, I can never get to know them. No matter how many days you're going to fast, you might never get to know God at a certain level. And Paul says to the Corinthians, you are limited. The moment you acknowledge how limited you are, it humbles you. You realize you're not the big shot. You realize you are not the greatest of them all. It humbles us when we realize that we cannot attain to the glory of God. For all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no man who is able to attain to the glory of God. But Paul said to them, you don't have to remain limited. You don't have to remain in that place of starvation in terms of things of God. So there are things that cannot be seen, things that cannot be heard or conceptualized in your walk with Jesus unless you receive assistance. So the fourth point is an acquainted disciple relies on the Holy Spirit. An acquainted disciple relies on the Holy Spirit. And like the Corinthians, you and I don't have to walk in the dark anymore. We can know Jesus. We can understand the things of God that are within what we need to know. In other words, I want you to know that God will reveal himself incrementally. You can never arrive to the fullness of God in one go. The Bible tells us that in various degrees we reach dimensions of glory from time to time. We will only attain the fullness of this glory when we meet him in heaven. And I want you to realize this morning that only the Holy Spirit can help you to know the things of God. I don't know how many of us here have got a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this portion of the Holy Spirit has been mystified by the church to a point where we feel like it's impossible for me to walk with the Holy Spirit. How can that be? Are you born again? Yes, if you are born again, you carry the Spirit of God inside of you. So, I want you to know the Holy Spirit is in the business of revealing hidden things in the heart of God for you. How many of you have come to that place where you feel like, you know, there's a prompting in my heart about this? I was praying And the Lord reminded me of this person, and I feel like I need to pray for them. Hmm? Now you are tapping into the heart of Jesus, into the heart of Jesus for you. And I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is the revealer of secrets. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, there are many things that He will reveal to you on a need-to-know basis. He will not reveal to you everything. He will reveal to you on a need-to-know basis. So walking with the Holy Spirit helps you to know Jesus. The Bible says, "For who among men knows the things of a man except the Spirit of a man within him? So also no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." You want to be acquainted with Jesus? Walk with the Holy Spirit. Rely on Him. Lean on Him. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Talk to Him when you're driving to work. Talk to Him when you're walking around. Let your spirit man be open to the Spirit of Jesus. That is why Jesus was excited about going back to heaven. The Bible tells us in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 7. He says, "But I tell you the truth." In other words, guys, I'm not lying to you. I am telling you the truth. "It is profitable for you that I should go away." Other version says, "It is expedient. It is for your good. It is for your profit that I should go away. For unless I go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Listen. Jesus says, "If I don't go, you will be by yourself. But if I go, I will come back." The Bible talks about another helper of the same nature as Christ. So, if I can ask you today, who did you receive in your heart? This is theologically. Who did you receive in your heart? Who is in your heart? Is it Jesus or it is His Spirit? Don't answer me, okay? The Spirit of Jesus dwells in you. The Bible says Jesus is seated on the right-hand side of God, making intercession for you and me. The one we have, it is Jesus, but the Spirit of Jesus who dwells in us. Glory be to God. So when you operate with your spirit that is open to the Spirit of Jesus, you are open to Jesus Himself. Glory be to God. Many people don't know Jesus because they try to understand Him through their limited and carnal minds. Whenever you try and decode the things of Jesus using the wisdom you got from UP, you're going to fall short. University of Pretoria. There is no degree that you can acquire that can enable you to understand the things of the Spirit. That is why even the people with PhDs, they are still deceived by false prophets. It's because they're trying to understand the things of the Spirit through their natural wisdom. So the Jews misunderstood Jesus because they reasoned with their minds. And because of that, Jesus was an offense to them. Let me tell you something. When you try to understand the things of the Spirit using your mind, you will always be offended. Amen. Offense will always creep up in your heart whenever you try and rationalize what God is doing and what God is saying. Why? The things of the Spirit cannot be understood by a carnal mind. That is why the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. Your salvation was not attained because you fully understood what was going on. Your salvation was attained because you believed. I want you to know that the things of God are foolishness to the people of this world. So relying on the Holy Spirit will assist you in believing Jesus when He speaks to you. You know, the Spirit of Jesus will come to you and says, "You want to grow financially? sow a seed into the kingdom of God. Give. Naturally speaking, if you want to grow financially, you shouldn't be throwing money around. Keep it invested. Redeploy it into your business. But in the kingdom of God, the Bible says, throw your bread upon the waters, and after many days, you'll be able to retrieve it. It doesn't make sense. The Bible says, love your enemies, buy them food. In fact, when you see them walking, give them a lift, even if they're talking bad about you. Doesn't make sense. So relying on the Holy Spirit will assist you to become acquainted with Jesus. Let's go to John 16, verse 13. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. And he will declare to you what is to come. Verse 14. He will glorify me by taking from what is mine and disclosing it to you. Who is talking here? Jesus. And he's talking to his disciples. And after he told them, it is for your good that I go, because I'm going to send you myself in the form of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus was saying, my friends, if I stay here, I can only be around you. But when I go, I'll come back and I'll be able to enter your spirit, man. And wherever you go, I am there with you. I'm talking about walking with the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, he says, he will glorify me by taking from what is mine and disclosing it to you. You want to know Jesus? There is your answer. He will glorify me, says Jesus, by taking from what is mine and disclosing it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is mine and disclose it to you. So Jesus is saying, when you get the Holy Spirit, you have the Father. He says here, everything that is of God is of me. Everything that belongs to God belongs to me. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will disclose everything that is in me. In other words, you want to know God, you've got to walk with the Holy Spirit. You've got to fellowship with him. You've got to understand how to connect with him. And this is testament to the fact that you cannot acquaint yourself with Jesus unless you rely on the Holy Spirit. So when you walk with the Holy Spirit, he's going to guide you into all truth. And Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. So the truth is knowable. When you rely on the Holy Spirit, the truth becomes so plain to you. And how often have you asked the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth about a situation? How often have you said, Holy Spirit, I'm thinking of this relationship, but please reveal the truth about this person. Holy Spirit, I'm about to appoint this person into a position of leadership, but please reveal the truth about them. I've got this friend in my life, but there's something that I don't really understand. Holy Spirit, reveal what is hidden. Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit, he's a revealer of secrets. You see, relying on the Holy Spirit means that you engage him in all of life to receive his input. You engage him in all of life. The Holy Spirit hears from Jesus and he speaks those things to you. You know, this thing is developed over time. You've got to start by desiring to walk with the Holy Spirit. And then you avail yourself to the Holy Spirit by actually asking him and engaging him and waiting for him to speak. You might not get it right the first time, but the more you walk with him, the more you pray to the Holy Spirit, the more you worship the Holy Spirit, the more he makes his voice clearer and clearer to you. Many times we want quick things. That is why we go to these prophets and they'll tell us things. They foretell the future. And yet you have the spirit of prophecy inside of you. You are able to wait upon God long enough, and you'll hear him speaking. And you'll ask me, Pastor, how do I know God is speaking to me? You see, I've been married now 19 years. And if my wife, she's got a contagious laughter, if she laughs behind these walls, I can tell you that's mine. That one is mine who is laughing there. So the more you walk with the Holy Spirit, Bazalwane, the more you engage him, the more you entertain him in your life, you will know his voice even in the middle of the crowd. Amen. Why? Because there is a way that he speaks to each and every one of us. I'm not going to give you a 6-point of how to identify God's voice. Go on your journey. You'll be able to know. I can give you principles around it, but ultimately God speaks to us differently. Yes, I can give you principles about what to look out for to identify whether it is the voice of the Holy Spirit or the voice of your mother or the voice of your boyfriend. Because we have many voices that we listen to. How do you know that this is my wife's voice and it's not God? Those of you who are married, you know your wives talk a lot. And they've got a lot of input and most of it good. But by and large, you should be able to listen and hear your wife talking and to be able to differentiate like this one. Mm-mm, it's her, not the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, if you don't learn that, you're going to be in trouble, the entire family, because you listen to your wife's voice and not the Holy Spirit's voice. The same thing applies to the husband, of course. You know, the sword cuts both ways. So this is a spirit-to-spirit communion, which begins with you receiving him as your Lord, where your heart is transformed. You are malleable. You are easy to lead. Glory be to God. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus says, when he comes, he shall glorify me. This means that the Holy Spirit will highly esteem Christ in the minds and the hearts of disciples. He will highly esteem Christ above many other things. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus stand out amongst other gods. The Holy Spirit will step in those moments when you are tempted to worship money. The Holy Spirit will step in. The Holy Spirit will step in when you are tempted to worship self. And he says, it's no longer you that lives, but Christ that lives. What is Christ saying about this? I want you to know, when you walk with the Holy Spirit, your life is an adventure. Because he's going to tell you to do things that contradict natural inclination. Let me tell you something. When you feel a sense of covetousness coming up in your heart because somebody else has bought their vehicle, I want you to know the other spirit says, go and clean their car. Instead of saying, why them? Go against that spirit of covetousness and come to a place of saying, I want to serve them. I want to sow a seed in that area. The Holy Spirit will come and deal with you in a very special way. Knowing Jesus. Everybody else is getting married. And where now you are not getting married. Instead of being upset, pray for their marriages. Intercede and say, Lord, preserve these marriages. Instead of wishing that one day I hear them, they have divorced. How do you know the Lord is speaking? Is what you are sensing in line with the scriptures? Is what you are sensing aligned with the spirit of Jesus? How do I know the Lord is speaking to me? If the Lord says to you, that one is your wife and she is married, it's not the Lord. It's another Lord, small letter L. It's not the big letter L. Because I'm telling you, the big letter G will never tell you that one is your husband. He's actually married to the wrong wife. I'm telling you, there are people who come to us with funny revelations about what God is saying to them. I'm telling you, we have heard things where people will come to you and say, Pastor, I can see 21 witches in your church. I can see them. Huh? Is that the spirit of Jesus? No, it's not. It's not. The spirit of prophecy is a spirit that encourages, that edifies, that adds value to people. Glory be to God. When somebody comes and they speak to you words that leave you afraid and fearful, rejected. The spirit of prophecy, even if it is a challenging word, will encourage you. It will encourage you to make right. How does the Lord speak to me? I'm already going into those details. Of how do you identify the voice of the Lord from the voice of sangomas? Hallelujah. Now, put this down. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of Christ's nature and character to his disciples. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of Christ's nature and character to his disciples. I can tell you now, when you walk with the Holy Spirit and you swear and you say certain words, he will correct you. And I want you to know, what you do in that moment of correction will determine whether he will speak again in the same way. Let me repeat that. When you've done something and the Holy Spirit comes and he shines his light on it, the way you respond to that moment will determine whether he will speak again in the same way. The devil will never come to you and correct you. Let me tell you that. The devil will never tell you to say you have said a wrong word. No, that's not the devil. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the greatest challenge that the church is facing today is the presence of carnal Christians who take everything via their natural senses. That is the greatest danger that the church is facing. Carnal pastors who are driven by natural sight, by what they see, what they feel, that determines what they preach. That is the greatest danger to the body of Christ, not sangomas. No. It's Tina who are carnal in nature, driven by our fleshly tendencies. So a natural man will fight the things of the Spirit. That is why many people struggle with submitting to Jesus. Let me try and land this plane. So are you a carnal Christian? You are still a Christian, but carnal. I remember praying during one of our prolonged times of prayer and fasting and say, Lord, show me the issues in our church. And the Lord said to me very clearly, you need to deal with the spirit of carnality in the church. He said to me, there is a lot of carnality in the church. That is why there is resistance to the things of the Spirit. And from that day, I felt I need to teach on that, but I haven't gotten to teach on it. I think it was in the time of fasting in March. One day I'll teach on it, the implications of being a carnal Christian. That is the greatest demon that you need to fight as a child of God, being carnally minded. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. When we are carnally minded, we'll fight over spiritual things. Hallelujah. So Jews could not submit because they were religious and carnal. The Greeks could not submit because they were too clever for Jesus. All in the same vein. The Jews were too carnal. The Greeks were too clever. They knew it all. Let's try and finish. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. The Bible says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. There is the thing again. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Listen to me. Whenever you are made angry in this church, you must ask yourself, is it because the pastor is carnal or you are carnal? I'm putting it out as it is, Bazalwane. If you are upset by what we are saying, let's do in this church, ask yourself, is it because this pastor is too carnal in what he's asking us to do? Or it is because there's another spirit at work inside of me? Paul says, oh, what a wretched man I am. The good I want to do, I don't get to do. But the bad I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Who can save me from this wretched body? I'm not upset with you, I'm upset with the spirit of carnality. That we are busy fighting and contesting within the spirit. May you be freed from that. As you leave this morning, ask yourself, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? They are foolishness to him. I can tell you now, you can be in church for 16 years, but prayer could still be foolishness to you. And can I tell you something? It is foolishness to many Bazalwanis, many brothers. Why? Because they don't come for prayer. Prove it to me that prayer is so important to you by coming for prayer. Let me tell you something. If you don't come for prayer, I have no reason to believe that you pray by yourself. Because public prayer is a reflection of your private life. Let me bring it out very clearly for you to know here. All of you, Bazalwane, I love you to heaven and back. If you cannot be found in public times of prayer, it's a reflection that even your private life of prayer is very minimal. Because when you are given to private prayer, you can't help it but come in public times of prayer. Prove me wrong. Hallelujah. I still love you. For they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So, let me finish up by this statement. There is an ease you find in a spirit-led disciple. And there is a complication you find in a carnal disciple. It is so easy to deal with spirit-filled people. It's so easy. You know, the grudges we pick in church. I'm no longer going to that church because, you see, that pastor was talking about me. Guys, can I tell you something? Every time I say something, it will catch one of you here. I'm not going to stand here and say, today, I'm going to preach somebody. No. I'm telling you, every time you come to church, I will say something, it will touch somebody. And like they say, if the shoe fits, wear it. Do something about it. Don't fight the man of God. Go home and ask yourself, what he was saying, is it true? So before you leave church, let's just investigate that matter. And let the Holy Spirit help us. So I want to say to you, there is an ease in dealing with a spirit-led child of God. Amen. And their whole complication. You don't even know where you stand with this person. You don't even know whether are they still a believer or not. I don't know. But when you are spirit-led, what you see is what you get. Why? Because they are led of the Spirit. We need to be led of the Spirit, Bazalwane. If we can do that, we will become like Christ. Let's stand on our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Two things that I mentioned. Acquaintance with Jesus begins with receiving him as Lord. And this thing goes beyond coming to church. It goes beyond being born in a Christian family. It goes beyond being friends to the pastor. It's about you receiving Jesus as Lord and submitting yourself. And secondly, relying on the Holy Spirit and coming to a place in your life and say, I surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Just two things. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And number two, those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Let's pray. I want you to pray for yourself right now. I don't know where God has ministered to you. I pray that you did not take offense on any of the things I said. It was really meant to awaken something in our hearts today. Let's pray to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. We come before you today. We've heard your word, Lord. We acknowledge that we are not enough. We acknowledge that we are limited. But the Bible says, but these things have been revealed to us by His Spirit. These things have been revealed to us by His Spirit. Oh Lord, help us. Help us in this season where we've been religious, Lord, where we've just been doing things, my Father. We ask that you would come by your Spirit and awaken something inside of us. Oh, Spirit of the living God, we are your children. We belong to you. And we pray that you would come and help us. We come that you'd strengthen each and every one of us today. Oh, Spirit of the living God, we need you. We are tired of trying. We are tired of trial and error. But we are coming to you today that you would lead us. Your word says you shall hear a still small voice saying this is the way to go. We ask you, Spirit of the living God, that you would help each and every one of us, that you do something in our spirit, man. Deliver us from the spirit of carnality. We pray that we become spiritual through and through. We want to be spiritual tomorrow when we go to work. We want to be spiritual on Tuesday. We want to be spiritual right through the week. We pray that you'd help us. We are weak, but you are strong. Father, your word says your strength is made perfect in our weakness.